Minded Podcast, powered by the CDA.
But I have to look
no,
at
no,
him. Where should I look?
To me.
Yeah. Tell me, Yuri. I can feel it.
Yes, we're going to use all of it. Is it recording?
Yeah.
Ah, we're started. There you go. See? Behind the scenes camera just for your exclusivity. We got a coffee and we're ready to roll.
Let's do it.
How are you?
It's the design week. I'm very, very, very tired, but super happy. Super, super happy. Everything's going very good. There's a lots of people around with, they want to see and catch other people and they're curious, you know, it's the first design week after 2 years.
Yeah, and that's the theme I'm talking to everybody. We don't realize that. Last year was pushover over the summer, around summertime.
Yeah.
It wasn't as crowded, it wasn't as busy, but this just came with fire. Everybody's everywhere, everybody's excited. People partying like rock stars, you know what I mean? I'm like,
true.
It is true, you know?
That's why it's very difficult to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, but it's okay.
We're so happy to have you. It was so fun because when we were scheduled, you told me like, okay, Yuri, I'll do it, but please, the very last day. I'm so busy. Let's do the very last day. And I'm like, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, because now I have the energy that, you know, everything is done. I made my openings. So now I need to do just talks. But, you know, I'm not anymore with, you know, cardiac fasty fact in which I have to solve something because the point is the backstage. I love, you know, openings, but you have to imagine that till the last moment, the last moment, you are solving a problem that happened, that appeared, something was going wrong with, you know, materials or people or whatever. So, but right now I was doing, you know, objects and performances and installations, mm-hmm. so completely different projects.
Yes.
But everything went very well, so I'm very happy.
That's, you know, the thing you mentioned about, you know, something is going to happen. You know, last minute, a problem is going to appear, and you're going to have to win your magical wand and fix something quickly.
Totally.
So when
that's a beauty.
That's what I was going to say. You don't know what it is, but you know it's coming. Right? So you're almost like, you're prepared. That did you with a little bit of an anxiety and anticipation, or you just kind of goes with the flow? It's like, you know what, when it comes, I just deal with it.
I think that everyone has to be ready to improvise. That's a very important point. For example, I make an exercise because I do love to dance, and sometimes I need to feel like water, you know? You know, when, if you look at a river, the water goes, but then she finds big rocks, no? Mm-hmm. And what she does is, you know, it dances around the rock and it goes. So what because design is not just, you know, draw something. It's also a matter of how your body faces. A mistake or, mm-hmm. You know, a rock. And the important point is to be, you know, open it, because the solution is somewhere. You have just to, and the fluid, and you will be very fluid. Mm. You will, you know, just go around the problem and, you know, it will pass away.
That's why.
So it's very beautiful to have this kind of quality, to smile, to, you know, feel the opportunity when a limit or a mistake comes.
Mm.
So all the time in all my installations, something new happens. One was, I was in the, I'm making Yuma Mandala, that is an installation in Cinque Vie. And you know, at the last moment, I was painting some some little details that ran wrong with the printing canvas. And then I was in the toilet washing my brushes. And I, you know, I had this idea. I would love to have a chorus of people. And there was another girl in the toilet. We were in the restroom mm-hmm. over there. And I was, dear, are you able to sing? I need to make a video because I need to ask for a chorus. And she was, ah, oh, yes. And we went inside my installation and she started to sing. And she was the first voice of a chorus in her hometown.
No.
So it was amazing. And we organized a super incredible performance that is going to be on Saturday with 20 women singing in my installation. But just because, you know, I felt that I had to ask it, you know, you need to feel.
Mm.
You know, alignments and situation and possibilities, and it happened. So I'm very happy to face limits or find opportunities, or this is something that I do love in my job.
This feeling, this intuition, how do you nurture that? How do you allow yourself keep it, you know, let's see it as a garden, right? You have to
yes.
water, you have to take care of it, make sure that it's doing well. So what do? To make sure that your this feeling is connected, it's engaged, it's aware, it's moving, it's flowing like the water.
First of all, the most important point is to feel a lot yourself. Your body, if you are able to be connected with your body, you will be able to find the other person, to find the space, to feel the space. Because, you know, every object, every person is not just a matter,
mm-hmm.
it has a magnetic
yes,
you know,
field
yeah. around, it has frequency, it has a, you know, it's much bigger than what you think. So my body, my knee finished here, but my body is much, much, much bigger. And the point is, people that has, how do you say this? Antenna.
Oh, they are.
Antennas.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you are concentrated, and if you are aware of yourself, and if you love yourself, the point is that you will be able to find this kind of possibility and opportunities that are already in the air. And for me, for example, as a person, I was always enthusiastic, you know, like a volcano, like a flame, but too much. You know, and this was, you know, all this fire was covering my possibility to watch with a...
Pay attention.
Yeah, to pay attention, you know. But the point is, I started to do Ikebana, okay. That is a art of arranging flower, to be very focused. It is a discipline that comes from Japan. In order to stay hours in creating shapes with flowers and branches and to be in the presence, to stay. And this for me was a very important point to find in the emptiness the possibility. And then I started Butoh dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's always from Japan because I needed to cut myself, to shape myself, and to have a discipline in order to find this quality of energy inside me and inside the other person.
At what point did you realize that, I mean, you have this incredible energy, And you know that. You walk in the room, people know you're there, it's captivating. But at what point did you realize, like, I needed to, as you mentioned, focus a little bit better, take care of myself, being able to shape my craft and yourself, because you are part of your, an extension of your craft.
Certo.
When did you realize that you needed to do that and you start looking for, you know, practices and disciplines that would help with that?
Interesting. I do think that, I mean, it takes your whole life to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. There is a moment in which maybe, you know, you twist.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, sometimes I say, it's 34 years.
Making.
I'm making it. Because it's
a work in progress.
It's always, 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 always. But if I have to mention a moment that was very important for me, was when I went out from, I finished the university. I was doing product design. Mm-hmm. My student career was great, and I wanted to enter a research center, mm-hmm, called Fabrica in Veneto, a very beautiful place. And I went there, and I sat, they were asking to me to, you know, make projects for them. I was doing it with lots of passion. At the end of the 2 weeks of trial period, mm-hmm, they told me, Sara, lovely, eh? Very, you are very fun. We, you are an amazing person.
Uh oh.
But.
Where's the but? It's always a but.
But you are too much naive. I mean, your world doesn't match with our quality of making design, you know? Mm. You are too much. So you have to go away. And for me, it was a very, very, you know, failure. It was, I was 2 days like, wow, I'm naive. And what should I do now? And there was one point in which I was saying, I was looking at design magazines, mm-hmm, and I was not matching with that. I mean, mm, I was not belonging to that aesthetic.
You couldn't see a reflection in those magazines.
No, because I come from theater. Yeah. I do love people. I mean, I don't care. I'm designing glasses and carpets and wallpaper and sofa. But I don't care about objects. I care about spaces for people. Mm. I do love this. I mean, this little cup here doesn't have any sense without doing this.
Yes, without the coffee, without the company.
Without the company, yes. Without having this sound that has, I mean, I love this. And I can understand it's naive, but it was my story. And so instead of trying to modify myself into something that the market asks
or the
fit the mode, I was saying, okay, I will do my best to understand who I am, what I can give. That is a true story for me, that can be authentic for me, and that will be authentic for the others. So I will do that. But still, it was a lot of discipline because you don't know. I mean, inside of you, there is a chaos. There is a condominium of personalities. Mm. And you need to, you know, always balance everything. So I started this path, and when it's going well.
This is such a powerful story to tell, because a lot of times in the industry, people can be very critical. There are so many feedbacks and pushbacks of what is expected for a designer, what is supposed to make, what is people consider success. And you were wise enough to really, you know, look inside and like, understand that I have something to offer. And I'm passionate about this. I'm just gonna do it my way. And I'm not only, but the thing is, people sometimes get the approach, this is who I am, you just take it or leave it. But you also were like, but I still can grow. I can still can learn. I can still shape my things. I can still develop. And I think that's a big, big takeaway from me. And you know, of course, the success like this week. I mean, how many exhibitions do you have? I mean, how busy you are all over the place. And I want to go back to that and talk a little bit about this week, because it's been crazy, very busy for you. But 6 months ago, let's go back 6 months ago, where did you already know, like, you would have this many exhibitions in work during Design Week, or you kind of started exploring the possibilities? What was happening in your head?
So, brands are always last minute. In I mean, it's crazy. I want to understand. I mean, you know that next year is going to be another Design Week. Why don't you call me a little bit before?
2 weeks from now, so we can have a whole year to prepare. Yeah.
But I don't know why they do love last second vibrations. I mean, they always call at the last moment. But still, I mean, right now I have 5 installations and very different. Mm-hmm. So I have to say that, for example, with Dolce & Gabbana, that there is this project that is called Generation D, created by Federica Sala. They made this amazing moment 1 year ago, talking all together, yeah, understanding the DNA of the fashion brand. And we were talking and drawing all together. It's a project together with other 9 designers, and everyone was doing his own piece of furniture that is like a sculpture, because it's very complex. Mm. They gave us the opportunity to work with very special techniques that you won't be able to make it in, you know, in the real life.
Mm. Yeah.
Very precious. And I was in love with it. That gives to us a huge opportunity. And I was creating this crazy curtain inspired by South of Italy curtain. And I was experimenting with wood. And these projects, for example, it took, you know, 1 year. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Vogue Italia, for example, that called me. I remember the director Francesca Ragazzi gave me a call. Sarah, what are you doing?
I'm busy.
Very busy. In March, at the beginning of March, so 1 month and 3 weeks, with Easter inside, with everything, and I was. Francesca, I don't know. It's 400 square meters offices. Uh-huh. And I had to do, you know, the Vogue closet. I was making an installation. And I do love to read. I do love books. So I was inspired by Chronicle of Narnia. Mm-hmm. And I was creating this crazy world, like opening this, you know, wardrobes. You were entering closet full of weird environments, but still, I had great partners. I had a very good team. My studio is great. I have amazing people working with me. I had amazing constructors, partners, mm-hmm, but still, very last second for 400 meters, square meters, completely.
Yeah. When the companies are reaching out to you to do a collaboration or develop a new collection, seems like this week there's so much going on and you have so many options. How do you go about choosing your partners, what kind of work you want to do, and who you want to collaborate with?
This part is interesting, because right now, I had this philosophy. Maybe I will change it. But right now, I'm spreading you know, desire. But without calling anyone, then I don't go to parties because I'm always working, by the way. And if I have to go out, I go to theater. I don't care about, you know, making
rubbing shoulders and doing all that.
No, doesn't work with me. I live in my own world. So, but what I do is I create my stories, my narratives, and I write it down. I give pictures and words. I do love to write and to give, you know, my scenarios. I never called a brand so far, never, from the beginning. If I have to say something, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna, you know, show it. Someone
will be interested, yeah. It will find its own path.
Yeah, and I don't know, I call it the power of attraction, you know? Mm-hmm. You spread it, and the others will come. It's like a flower. If you think about flowers, they are on a tree, but they, I mean, the tree has to bloom, the flower shows up, opens, and then all the insects come. But you need to open yourself. So my point is, I open myself in order to have all these bees coming, and then we see what you can take or what not. It depending, because then I do need to create a narrative. So if you want to do a twist with me, okay, it's gonna happen. Yeah, because I have a little studio. I don't have to take all these projects. I can choose. That's, you know, a very great power.
Yes.
And I do love to have it right now. And I don't have PR. I don't have, I don't like, you know, chains around me. I choose. If we feel the good vibes and the good energy, we do it together. If not, I won't do it. No one is telling me if you're good or not. It's a matter of, I feel it with my belly. You can't understand how many times people told me, I don't do that with that, brand. You ruin your image. I don't care. I love to feel, to receive critics or to receive suggestions. But I need to, myself.
You should be your choices.
Of course.
Your mistakes. you can own.
Yes, and that's how it works.
Now, there is a part of this, that's the business part. Now, I mean, it's some fun, but you still, as you mentioned, you have a studio. You have people that collaborate with, that work with you along your side. How do you try to manage and balance both worlds? Because at the end of the day, as much as you are an artistic powerhouse, you still need to kind of have a sense of how to run your business. You know, do you think about things like that a lot or not necessarily?
Right now, I'm thinking much more about that because the studio is growing. And of course, I'm creating, I have a business plan because of course, I mean, energy and everything and money. And money is also something that you have to desire. For example, in Italy, it's very strange, you know, creative jobs. should I pay you? Oh, yes. And we make a contract. Here we go. And this is my legal. So it's here it's very important that you are very, that you manage also the money aspect in a, you know, precise way.
Yes.
You need to desire it, you need to talk about it. Here is a, in Italy is a very scary moment, you know? And lots of brands are not paying designers for what they do. And this is unfair, this is something that I always say, to the market that it can't work like that.
Yeah.
And My business plan actually is divided in, because I do, with my studio, I do installations, art directions, interiors for residential and retails, mm-hmm. but just interiors that wants to push.
Yes.
You know, I don't do styling or, and then I make product for galleries and companies. And then I have all my teaching part. Mm-hmm. That is all about workshops and university courses that I do about social design and relational practices. So this is all the areas in which I work. And, you know, all of these dots are, you know, giving, connected and are giving money, you know, to the studio. And I balanced, I was able to balance all these different parts of working all together. And we make contact, we earn money out of it, and mm-hmm. Actually it's going very good. We're growing and it's great, but still, you need to, I always do this in which I make a plan and understand, you know, how to improve every aspect. So that's why, for example, from the first year, I will have my own brand to sell crazy objects.
Now that's very exciting. I like, when you mentioned about a lot of creative designers don't get paid by brands. When do you think that started? Do you think sometimes designers feel they're working with certain brands to give them more visibility or press and opportunity to showcase their work, and they're okay, you know, for getting any money? How do we make sure that goes away and the next generation of creative people can speak up and say, listen, I love work with you, but here's my fee.
That's very important. I mean, the point is, first of all, we need to talk more about it mm-hmm. because lots of people don't know how to do it and they're scared of, you know, touch this issue. Young designers, for example, I was creative because lots of brands were saying at the beginning were telling me, Sarah, but it's gonna be something about royalties. But I mean, you can't, you know, run your studio with royalties. I mean, you need to pay people. I mm-hmm. need to pay the studio and everything. Yeah. So. You need to be creative also in how you ask for fees. So
yes.
I was doing lots of incredible speeches to the brands I was working with in order to earn the fee for projects. And I was able to do it. The point is never be angry.
Yes.
You know? Don't shout or don't be so aggressive, but people understand what you need. And if you, you know, present a plan, A, it's gonna be great together. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do this. This is the fee.
Yes.
And we can make it like this or this. You can pay me in this way or we can fix
it
like this.
You can explain,
but
yes.
Of course, a designer has to show, I mean, we talk, not just with words, we talk with, infographics. And if a client see where you're gonna arrive, where you can bring them, then he will able to accept, you know? I mean, it's a trick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you should just say, oh, this is my fee, I draw for you. But, I mean, life is also a show. Life is a matter of understanding which is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. If you like someone and you want to go out with him, her, I mean, you will invent, no, strategies. Mm. The point are choose the best, the most creative strategy in order to get that job with the condition you want.
Use your creativity to explain why you need that fee in
always
money. That's excellent.
Crazy. I do love, I once I made a pop-up price list. It was a very funny, but it's okay.
It worked out, right? You got the job.
Yes.
Do you have those conversations with the students a lot? Because a lot of times when it comes to the creative part, and there's great schools around Europe in the world that you can learn the history and some of the craft and some of the understanding. But that aspect that you just mentioned, like running your business, having this conversation, the relationship, you don't learn that in school. But you have
this is such a pity. I don't understand why schools are so, then at the end of the path, they have to, push students to understand all these very important aspects. I have to say that students at the beginning needs, because what they ask me the most mm-hmm. is how to find their own voice. Mm. Because, the point is, first of all, you need to understand what you're saying, what you're proposing. And then you create a creative strategy out of it in order to get money, to make a living out of it. So the point is, students at the beginning, because they couldn't find maybe their own, their own narrative, and they are scared. They're very scared. So the first thing the questions I received the most is, Sarah, can you tell us how can I catch that peculiarity? How can I catch my voice? And how can I give it? Mm-hmm. How can I put it out? Okay, and this is a very important point.
Of course.
You need to work a lot on it. And then you create strategies mm-hmm. around it. So then I received lots of messages, for example, on Instagram to make workshops, to have consultancy about how to run. And right now, I'm not able to do it because I have to, I have a quantity of energies that I have to put also in my private life. But I think it's going to be something for sure that I will do it in the future, because right now I'm learning. I'm very creative also with my lawyer and with my commercialist. Do you say like this? With my how do you say the guy that with the administration?
Yes, like
money administration.
Meaning a business partner. Or
yeah, okay. My business partner, and they are always, wow, Sarah, with you is always a new
something new.
Because the contract, it's incredible. Like, you can write a contract you have to be very creative at the beginning in order to make a very interesting accordo.
Like an agreement?
Agreement.
Yes.
Agreement. And if you twist your way of thinking into that, you change completely. Yes, you can make design of the everything, how you make a breakfast with someone, how you talk with your lawyer, how you make homeworks with your kids.
I'm interested now. I'm very curious to know, what are you like when you were 8 years old? What a little Sarah was like in South Italy growing up. What was that for you?
I was always very enthusiastic and full of fire. But the point, there was something very interesting. I was living in the countryside, in the nature, but I was always alone because I was living far away from the city center where all my friends were. Mm-hmm. And for many years, I was, for example, with nuns and in this kind of school. And I was passing lots of time alone. And it can be strange, but being alone for a kid is very important. I was getting, you know, bored, and I was looking, and my brain was inventing many things, you know? Because if you are, I mean, in one place, and around you, there is, you know, like trees and natures, running out, lots of stories, bugs. Aye, where are you going? And the point is, being alone and not always overstimulated, that right now is an issue.
Yes.
Is super important because you need to have time to, you know, and to look and to observe. And I was in love with that because my brain was building up stories and stories and stories and stories. And then I was reading a lot of books because I was making lots. I mean, every day was a journey. Lots of crazy books. I was living so many lives. And so the little Sarah had, my parents tell me, super sorry because you were always alone. Mm. We were always working. You were, but, guys, thank you so much. I was enjoying a lot. So the point is, this was a very interesting feeling and value in my life.
I'm going to cut this part of the podcast, this clip, and I'm going to play it to both of my daughters, Julianne and Chloe. I'm going to play it to you. Next time you complain to me, I'm bored. I'm like, listen to this. Be alone. You know, at least in our house, there's no screen during the week. They can all, there's no TV, there's no iPad. They have to figure it out, do something on their own.
Super.
And they don't love it, but they're used to it. That's all they know. But they always complain about being bored. I'm like, it's important to be alone. It's important to be with yourself, with your thoughts, with your feelings. So I'm gonna clip this and I'm gonna play to them all the time they complain. I'm like, look at this. Listen and learn. Guarantee. And they're gonna roll their eyes like I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. But one day they will figure it out.
they would be very happy one day
amazing.
About that.
They're amazing. They're amazing girls. Can't complain. Now, if you were to meet, if that little Sara was here with us right now, sitting next to you, what would she think about what you've done with your life so far? Would she be proud? Would she be excited? Would she ever thought that you would be where you are today?
Dear. Absolutely. I'm very happy to be where I am now. And it's important to, you know, celebrate your daily life, the people around you. I'm grateful for all the people, the masters I met, and the world I live in. Of course, we don't have to just, you know, lie into our present. The point is, I'm a warrior, mm-hmm. a joyful warrior that every day is concentrated in trying to make it better. And this effort is very beautiful and very interesting. I hope to do better every day. But the little Sara is working a lot. It's 34 years that he's working. So
I have a feeling that the little Sara is still in there.
Going around, running in the stomach.
She hasn't gone away. I'm so happy we got you to this. And I got the chance. We spoke on the phone before. And now hearing your process that you say, like, I have to figure it out. I need to be able to really go with my gut. And you told me that on the call. I need to have a call with you first. And you need, right off, before we end up the call, you told me, like, all right, let's do it. So I'm very thankful and happy that you gave us the opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and spend some time with us. We're thrilled. But I want to, before we go, it is a crazy week and it's still Design Week. I wanted to tell everybody what they can see your work if they're in town, because this is going to be available during the week. And sure. And be in contact with you and following you and be more engaged with you up to.
Wow. First of all, I'm very happy that we had your energy. You is super. And if you pass by the Design Week in Milan, I have many things going on, like Vogue Closet, that is an installation in Piazza Cadorna, in Condé Nast offices about this wardrobe. Is an immersive installation. And then I have Human Mandala, that on Saturday is gonna be full of chorus and performances, and is a like a temple to dance and to feel the sound, low frequency sound. And then I have a sculpture in For Dolce Gabbana in Via Broggi 23 with other incredible, amazing designers that created super crazy pieces of furniture. And then I have at Palazzo Litta, that is a super beautiful palace. Just to see the palace, you should go. Then there is me with Fondazione Coloni and Star Hotel, because I'm an art director for this group of Italian hotels. I created with craftsman in Italy, a huge tableware for a custom tableware, tablecloth, and Ritz diffusers for the hotels. And it's an installation. And then I made new collections of wallpapers together with carpets in always in Cinque Vie.
Well, there's so much sunshine and energy over here, they stopped raining. Thanks again. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Discover the intersection of art and design at the Gaggenau Design Elementi Hub in Milan. From April 18th to the 22nd, explore the unique art exhibition No, 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 No by H.H. Lim, which explores the complexity of communication and the power of saying no. Featuring innovative designs and state-of-the-art appliances, the Gaggenau Design Elementi Hub is the perfect place to discover the latest in art and design. Don't miss this limited-time opportunity to experience the best of both worlds. This episode was created in partnership with Gaggenau Sutherland Furniture, Marta Sala, and Illy Cafe. A special thank you to Cece Tapis.